Erin Delahunty, welcome to A Sporting Discussion.
Thank you very much for having me back, guys.
Now, it is exciting times in the world of Australian netball because the Super Netball has announced its return. So originally scheduled for a May 2 start, obviously for COVID-related reasons, we couldn't do that. But Saturday, 1st of August, and the fixture's not out, but the league is committed to completing a full 60-match season. Are you excited?
I'm so excited. It's just, it's unreal. Like, I'm just such a happy little Vegemite because we've got a full season. It's not some Mickey Mouse tournament, you know. It's the real deal. It's the full 60 games and it's 3 weeks of finals as well, which is really exciting because for fans, that's where the big money, I guess, and the big broadcast numbers that we see are in those 3 weeks of finals. So, yeah, really, really excited, especially when you consider the UK Super League, you know, got the chop this week. So they've pulled the plug entirely. England's obviously in a very different position to us. And then New Zealand have obviously made a decision about their league. I don't want to say Australia's better than New Zealand, but Australia's better than New Zealand, obviously. They had one round of their league, so they were sort of in a different position. So they've announced this league, this 10 weeks where they're playing four nights a week, all in one place, and this kind of, pseudo sort of final season, whereas Super Netball, it's the real deal. So, yeah, so excited.
What sort of messages have been coming out of head office, Erin, about the how the season's going to go? They're talking about maybe getting crowds in or anything like that, like other codes have been?
Look, I mean, I saw one piece during the week in The Guardian that was, like, really excited about crowds, but I think I wrote that. So, you know. I think a lot of netball fans are a bit disappointed that we're not starting until August the 1st, but I tend to look at it as saying, do you know what? We are giving – Super Netball is giving the sport the best possible chance of getting crowds in. So if you look at that 60 game, I mean, depending on doing split rounds and things, sort of mid-November, end of November are going to be those finals. So if you want to get crowds, you want to get bums on seats, that gives you the best chance, right? And you miss clashing with AFL grand finals and NRL grand finals the end of October. So I would like to think that that has been part of the thinking that maybe we can get some people into the stands.
And there's also been some good news with the 5 international players who went back home. So 19 international players decided to stay in Australia, but there were 5 who went back to England and South Africa. And there's been a government decision. They're being granted the permission to return to Australia. So What are we looking at in terms of a, like, full strength competition? Is it going to be all internationals that we want playing, or are some not going to be able to make it over?
No, this is absolutely rigidage. So those 5 players that you talk about are all probably starting players for their clubs, both at Sunshine Coast Lightning, Adelaide Thunderbirds and the New South Wales Swifts. So all of those 5 players. There's a whole bunch of internationals that elected to stay as well because unlike, I think we talked about last time when we chatted, unlike a lot of other sports, Netball Australia ensured that the imports actually got equivalent to JobKeeper. So a couple of the really big stars from the New South Wales Swifts, Helen Housby and Sam Wallace, who are English and Trinidadian and Tobago and in their own right, and they're the shooting combination for the current premiers, they decided to stay. So these 5 players that we're talking about are just the 5 that elected to go, and they're currently in the 14-day quarantine at the moment. So aside from COVID craziness and being home and stuck and all of that kind of thing, there it's full strength. Everyone will be raring to go come August 1, which is really exciting.
Are there likely to be more phone calls now that England pulled the pin and all of that, that some more imports wanting to come over and play? Are they going to be allowed to? Can we talk dispensations or anything like that? Or is the door going to be shut?
Look, I mean, without saying Australia's better than England, Australia's better than England.
The record states.
Without sounding awful, that we wouldn't necessarily see a flow from England. I mean, you would consider Australia the top competition, and then New Zealand, and then the English Super League. But the English Super League being cancelled is hugely significant, because there's those players that are coming through in the English system that won't get that chance at their best level in England. I think, if anything, the potential for New Zealand players to come across. So New Zealand will be finished their season come the 23rd of August. So we'll only be 3 or 4 rounds into our season. So I think maybe that might be where we see some crossover. But having said that, we're talking about clubs that have laid people off or put people on, you know, enforced leave and things like that. So those players would only be as an injury top up. But do you know what? The New South Wales Swifts last year, you know, exploited the opportunity to do that with Kiwi top up players, and they won the flag. So I think that we might see that if we see some major injuries, which, cross fingers, I mean, we don't, but you know, it's obviously an option. It obviously might happen.
And the talk about the Australian and the New Zealand competitions, there's been a commitment for the Constellation Cup to also be held, which will follow the regular domestic seasons. And for those who aren't in the room with us, they won't be able to see Erin dancing for joy at that that news. So it's a 4-match series contested between Australia and New Zealand, being held annually since 2010. Obviously, as you say, the New Zealand season finishes on August 23rd, the Australian season in November. So it's going to be a little bit after the Australian season, and they haven't figured out when, but they're committed to doing it, which is brilliant. And that comes amid the news that the Quad Series has been cancelled. So Australia, New Zealand, England and South Africa. And that's fair enough, but it's great that there is some form of international competition that is still going to take place.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic that Australia and New Zealand have been able to make some kind of agreement to make this happen. As you say, all the details are yet to be ironed out. But that Constellation Cup, which always comes at the end of both of our domestic seasons, is kind of the touchstone of how those two clubs are going. I guess it's on the Bledisloe Cup. Is Bledisloe Cup between nations? Yeah, so it's that kind of a model, and it gives you a really good sense of where we have traditionally been the two best nations in netball. So that is really exciting. Quad Series, hugely disappointing that can't happen, because that has been the vehicle for the last couple of years that has kind of been, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing, you know, has given South Africans and Jamaicans and England the chance to have a real crack at the best teams in the world in Australia and New Zealand. But, I mean, you can see why it's just impossible for that to happen at this time. You know, that's normally a January sort of time frame. But for, you know, Australian netball fans, like, let's just close our eyes and imagine that we have the travel bubble between Australia and New Zealand at that point, and that would be amazing to have those 2 games in New Zealand, 2 games in Australia.
Absolutely. And so there's good news with the Super Netball announcing its return. There's good news that New Zealand are going to have their season. There's good news that the Constellation Cup has been going to happen.
Where is this going? I don't like where this is going.
However,
But
Netball Australia confirming that they've cancelled the Australian Netball League season. So the feeder competition for the Super Netball, it was due to financial pressures and inconsistent restrictions on training and state borders. How big of an impact will that be?
It's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal. I mean, it's different in the AFL now for Victorian, New South Wales listeners, but it's, you know, in the old days, if you think about how important the reserves were to the VFL teams and that sort of thing, how significant it was, if you had a serious injury and you had to bring somebody in, they're the players that you're looking to. So you have your contracted players at Super Netball at that elite level, but if you lose a particular key player in a key position, whether that's a shooter or a defender, there can be up-and-coming players that you want to bring in, you know, that you want to bring into the team. So it is really, really disappointing. And I mean, I don't think it was unexpected in a lot of ways, because while Super Netball can probably overcome some of the issues that are being presented by COVID, at that next level down, that member organisation, Netball Victoria, Netball New South Wales, it was always going to be a bridge too far, unfortunately. Hopefully we are going to see the next tier down. So in Victoria, that's what we call the VNL. So if that can continue, that in itself, and I know here in Victoria, Netball Victoria has just announced they've sort of they've created this kind of elite program to keep what would be those ANL players within the system and within the pathway. So there'll be a little bit of development that continues. But, yeah, it is really disappointing, particularly for people that have for players that have just made the ANL. You know, it's like a lot of things in this year that it's a significant thing for people to achieve and they're not able to actually see it through.
Mm. That brings me to the next question I was going to ask. Are the Super Netball squads all set? Are they all signed up and done?
Yeah, they're all locked and loaded. They're all absolutely locked and loaded at this point, and it will only be major injury that will make a significant change at this point. If anything, particularly for some of the bigger name players that are coming back from injuries, it's probably given them a little bit of, you know, it's the whole silver lining thing with Collingwood. We'll probably see the Brown sisters playing together this season now because they'll both have time to rehab some serious injuries. So, you know, there's always an upside to that.
And is there any idea when pre-season starts?
It's already started.
They started training already.
They were given
Monday. Monday was the day.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean,
that's a long lead-in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's nine months since the grand final, the Super Netball grand final.
Oh, true.
It's a significant amount of time. So there's a lot of technicalities with what Super Netball have set out with what they can do. So at the moment, there's 12 hours a week, and then they'll build up to what is a full-time sort of schedule for them, which will be 23 hours or 24 hours a week and heading into August 1.
And that links to the pay as well, doesn't it? Because currently they're being paid in line with the agreed 12 hours per week, and so late June when they go to that 23 hours, they'll then have full pay.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, and I think having this date, as much as it's about the fans and broadcast, it really gives the players and the coaches and the clubs and the member organisations that run them a bit of certainty about what the future actually looks like.
Now, Netball were one of the first organisations or sports to sort that out, weren't they, when all the leagues started going down, the pay deal?
We just go about our business. We just get it done in Nepal. That's how it goes, right? Like, there's no big song and dance.
Now, it'd be remiss of us if we didn't ask. There's been announcements going on, particularly around Victoria, of local leagues, regional leagues, shutting it down for the year. This is football netball leagues. In Victoria, a lot of the regional football leagues include netball teams for each club and so on and so on. So we've seen a couple of country Victorian regional leagues going down and some metro leagues as well, football netball leagues. What can you tell us from on the ground out of Echuca Way? How are people feeling about all that?
Oh, I mean, it's such a piecemeal thing. Do you know what I mean? So each individual league, like you have the umbrella bodies, you know, AFL Goulburn Valley or AFL Wimmera or whatever you want to call them, but it ultimately comes down to each of the individual leagues and they're all handling it in a different way. I mean, some people are training, some people aren't training. There's been a couple of the smaller leagues around here have announced that they're not continuing. And these two announcements about the major league, what I would consider sort of major leagues out of Melbourne, that they're not running this season are quite significant because I think a lot of administrators are kind of looking to other leagues and think, well, are you going to make it happen? Does that mean we can make it happen? And I know locally where I am in Echuca and Waima, it's really a matter of put your hand up. Can you guys make this season happen or can you not make this season happen? So I think I mean, I don't want to be pessimistic about it, but I think people are pretty, I don't think we're going to see a lot of local footy netball this year.
And in New South Wales, they're having similar issues as well. So the Orange Netball Association is the one that's sort of been in the press the last couple of days. They're working to get that the date to come back, but they've got no go-ahead from the New South Wales government. And so that has led the Giants players and Swifts players to write to the Premier and say, hey, what's going on? Can you give us a bit of direction? I think that's brilliant from the players.
As I was saying about netball, about just getting it done, the sport does have a bit of reputation of just kind of going about its business quietly and not making too much noise. So when Netball New South Wales came out with that statement, it was really late, I think on Friday, I want to say it was Friday just gone. I was really thrilled because it shows a certain kind of maturity from them as an organisation to say to Gladys Berejiklian, do you know what? We need some guidance here. Give us some idea about what is happening. I mean, here in Victoria, Dan Andrews' government has been pretty specific about what is going to happen and when it's going to happen. You know, there's been a roadmap, whether you've agreed with it or not. But in New South Wales, they've just been crying out, give us some direction. You can't expect grassroots organisations just to sit on their hands waiting. So, yeah, I was really thrilled to see that. But unfortunately, hasn't had the desired effect as of yet. So
yeah, I think they've got a lot of letters to read. The New South Wales
government. I think they do.
Last one before we go. How did sponsorship go for Super Netball, Netball Australia in general? Do we know if any sponsors dropped off, or they've all stuck with it, or they've reduced or prorated or anything like that?
Look, I don't have any particular insight into that. It's not something I've looked at specifically. But for Super Netball, it's about the broadcast deal. And Channel 9 have committed to showing what they were already committed to showing on the days when they're going to show it. And hopefully they'll get that 3-week final series with 4 games clear of any huge competition over the weekend in terms of other big sports. So I don't know firsthand, but I would imagine that the other sponsors fall underneath them and say, do you know what, if we're going to get our minute in the sun on Channel 9, when we get our match of the round or whatever it is, you know, they're going to, stay the course as well. And I think that's what's so exciting about having the full season and not having some kind of, pseudo competition or some half competition.
Mm. And big opportunity if the 2020 World Cup goes away as well for October, November.
The Cricket World Cup? Yeah, because all of a sudden there will be...
All of a sudden free space for netball on the Channel 9 channels.
Yeah, it's interesting because netball, I mean, for several years, netball has been so defiant about trying to, what's that word, window that they love? They want to own that April, 4-month window from April or whatever. But, I mean, Sue Gordian said to me this week, she said, won't it be interesting? Let's just see. What does it look like when we have netball on in prime time in early December? Who knows? Yeah. You know, like it's there's opportunity in these challenges. That's kind of exciting as well to see how it all goes.
I'm glad you said opportunity there because we're about to wrap it up. But do you think we're going to see a 2-point shot? There's still time.
Shut up. Shut up.
It's time to innovate.
AJ, leave it out. That's not the innovation that the fans want.
How do you know what the fans want? Channel 9 knows what the fans want. I'm just rousing.
It's not going to happen.
I'm just rousing on you. Erin, we want to thank you yet again for setting us right about what's going on in the world of netball. We really appreciate talking to you, and we will talk to you again very shortly.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me, guys.